You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
We are approaching the bye week blues over here in Broncos country as the Broncos fall to the Texans 19-17 at home. Broncos dropped a 3-6 on the year, and the Texans winning their sixth straight game on the road in Denver. There is nothing but frustration right now in Broncos country. Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. This is your post-game report brought to you by MyBookie. We'll talk about them a little bit later on in today's show. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos in the National Football League, as well as a columnist over at predominantlyorange.com. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL.
And I'm Cameron Parker, your co-host of the Locked On Broncos Twitter network, podcast network. You guys can follow me at Cameron Parker PO. So thank you guys very much for tuning into the Locked On Broncos post game. As always, it was a terrible ending. And it was one that, unfortunately it's a tough loss as far as the team is concerned. And they at least have some time to recover because of the bye week. But, Cody, it was definitely a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, well, you know, the Broncos just finding ways to lose games once again. It's frustrating, and it's not necessarily from the fan standpoint. I think it's overall just watching the Broncos play. Now, I think it begs to show. We'll talk about this here in tonight's show. Segment number one, we're going to recap the game, kind of go over who had a good day, who didn't have a good day. Segment number two, we're going to break it down. We're going to give you our analysis and our complete thoughts on certain things like coaching or where the Broncos are going wrong, because there's a lot of things that this Broncos team can do very well. However, it's just not coming into fruition. So we'll talk about that segment number two. And the segment number three, we're going to take a look ahead through the bye week. It's the bye week blues. We're going to talk about what's next for this Broncos team. What can we expect? What does the Broncos emphasis have to be going into the bye week? So we'll talk about that here on tonight's episode of Locked On Broncos. So segment number one, let's jump right into it, Cam. Going back on this game, Broncos lose 19-7. After one, it was 7-3. Houston was up. Houston were going to have a 9-point second quarter. They'd go up at halftime 16-10. And really, there was an accumulation of things that just fell kind of short in this game. You know, Broncos couldn't get anything going offensively in the passing game. Case Keenum was struggling a little bit. The Broncos defense on the first series came out necessarily flat, gave up a touchdown to a tight end. He had Josie Jewell playing coverage underneath on a corner route. That's just a hard play. But overall, in that first series, we saw Demaryius Thomas get involved. Former Bronco, they came in and honored him today before the game, thanked him, had a nice little promo video on the scoreboard for Demaryius Thomas, who was embraced by Broncos country for his final game in Denver for now, as long as he's in Houston and they don't have to travel to Denver. But obviously a heartfelt moment for Demaryius Thomas. Big game for him coming to this game against his former team who traded him this previous week. He opened up his first drive, 3 catches, 61 yards, and he was torching Tremaine Brock. Tremaine Brock had an awful day in coverage. Go on and back and forth. Deshaun Watson, very Houdini-like, very mobile as a quarterback. He's a dang good quarterback. He finished the game 17 of 24 passing, 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. One of those sacks, he was sacked by his own lineman. He finished with a QBR of 125.9. For the Houston, in terms of their overall rushing offense, they ran for a total of 98 yards on 33 carries. Broncos run defense doing a stellar job there, despite bending on several occasions and not really giving things up. They gave up a couple big runs, but overall, the Broncos defense continues to be a bright spot. In comparison, you look at the Denver passing game. Case Keenum, 26 of 42, 290 yards passing, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Relatively, he was turnover free today. This is the first game for Case Keenum being turnover free as a Denver Broncos quarterback. That was big. He was sacked twice for 17 yards. He finished a total of a 90.4 quarterback rating. Now, the Broncos rush game, obviously, in the past, the last couple of weeks, even throughout the entire season, has been a strong point for the team. While they were really missing Royce Freeman, and the Houston Texans defense did a phenomenal job really stuffing the interior, sending a lot of blitzes. They'd go with their Oki package. They'd go 3 linemen, and then they'd go more of their dime package there, too, with some cover inside corners, some nickel corners. Kareem Jackson had a phenomenal day. They held the Broncos overall with 75 total yards of rushing, 3.8 total yards per carry. Phillip Lindsay, you know, springy as always. However, we didn't see the springiness that we normally saw from him. And really, that's a credit to the Houston Texans defense, who did a very good job containing on the edge, on the outside, filling the A and the B gap primarily. They did a good job at stuffing, and Jadeveon Clowney and their inside linebackers, Marcellus Whitney, he was pretty good. Whitney Marcellus, correct me if I'm wrong there. But, you know, overall, Phillip Lindsay had one big run in this game, but they just couldn't get the run game going, and it really kind of impacted the Broncos offense in a little bit of ways. Now we look at the receiving patterns for the Broncos and the Texans. On the Houston side of the ball, DeAndre Hopkins, their main man, he's a total package at wide receiver. He just kept finding ways to get open against his Broncos defense, who played a lot of zone coverage. The Broncos played some man coverage, but overall, you can see if you go back on film on NFL Game Pass, the Broncos defensive secondary was playing a lot of zone coverage, a lot of quarters coverage. DeAndre Hopkins, 10 catches, 105 yards on 12 targets. He had a touchdown wide open. Justin Simmons was supposed to be over the top. Apparently, him and Pac-Man Jones had a little bit of a miscommunication touchdown there. Demaryius Thomas, like I said, 3 catches, 61 yards, had a good day against Tremaine Brock. Lamar Miller out of the backfield had a 27 yards as well. Other than that, the Broncos did a primarily good job keeping everything in front of them outside of that one error they had. Now, for the Broncos, the story was a little different this week. We see a lot of Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton getting involved, but this week it was Jeff Heuerman. 10 catches, 83 yards and a touchdown. He had a huge game for the Broncos today. Big, big game. I know you're a big fan of Jeff Heuerman, Cam, but Cortland Sutton as well. 3 catches, 57 yards. Had a catch that looked like a touchdown, but the defensive back made a phenomenal play, knocking it out of his hands. Emmanuel Sanders, 6 catches, 47 yards on 9 targets. He had a huge catch on a 4th and 8 late in that game to set up the Broncos. And in this instance, too, to really set things up, Brandon McManus missed 2 field goals today, 1 before halftime, 18 seconds left, a 62-yarder. We'll talk about that segment number 2. It's very frustrating. And segment number 8, you know, I think going through. And at the end of the game, for Brandon McManus, a 51-yard attempt, and it was no good. It was wide right. And the Broncos lose this one 19-17. Overall, we got to look at some key things here. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, once again having a very good game. Bradley Chubb had 6 total tackles in this game. He was great at concealing the edge, squeezing it down on the outside, keeping that contained, and really making plays in the middle of the field as well as in the open field for a loss. He also had 1 sack. He had 3 tackles for a loss in this game. He hit the quarterback 1 time. He had a big game for the Broncos once again. And opposite of him, Von Miller, 2 tackles, and he had 2 tackles for loss and 1 sack on the quarterback once again. So that puts Bradley Chubb at 8 sacks on the year and Von Miller at 9 sacks on the year. They are proving to be a very dynamic duo out there as well. And the Broncos offense only gave up 2 sacks in this game, 1 to Jadeveon Clowney and 1 to J.J. Watt late in the game. And that is how the Broncos fall at home, 19-17. Cam, what are your quick rapid-fire thoughts on the outcome, some of the key performers?
As far as the key performers, I want to touch on Jeff Heuerman a little bit. You know, it's as you know, Cody, I've been a big fan of Jeff Heuerman. I like everything that he brings to the table. The problem with Jeff Heuerman has just been consistency and also injuries and staying. That's the biggest thing, is staying on the field. But clearly he proved today that he can be a receiving threat. You know, that was maybe, to be honest, the best tight end performance that the Denver Broncos had seen since the Super Bowl year of Super Bowl 50 with Owen Daniels. And so the fact that they were able to get that type of production from Jeff Heuerman is a really good sign. And it's a really good sign for Case Keenum. It's a really good sign for Case Keenum. Throwing it 42 times is not exactly the recipe for success. But you saw a lot of times, at least in that second half, you know, I think that, you know, you saw a lot of play action. You saw the Broncos put him in a lot of situations. And I think that, you know, they just put Case Keenum in very winnable situations. And I think that you saw his pocket awareness get better as the game wore on. And there were some times still where you still question the throws from Case. But I felt like Case had a kind of a quiet good day, really. I mean, he didn't really throw an interception. There were still some questionable throws. you know, maybe not the best decision on the touchdown throw to Jeff Heuermann, but it worked, and it was a thread the needle pass to Jeff Heuermann, and you could not have placed it any better. And quite honestly, what I thought about with Case Keenum throughout this game was, this was kind of what he had at Minnesota, you know, just utilizing the tight end and getting your weapons involved. And it's going to be interesting to see when Deshaun Hamilton comes back, and as he'll probably be the predominant slot receiver, most likely with Tim Patrick being the number four receiver, how the targets might skyrocket a little bit for that slot receiver, knowing the fact that Case Keenum really does love that slot receiver.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and in this instance, too, I was kind of asked that question as well. We'll look at that here in segment number two or three, kind of looking at what's ahead as the Broncos approach the bye week. But, you know, yeah, I think when Deshaun Hamilton comes back, I think Tim Patrick takes a step backwards. He didn't really he was good in blocking. I think Tim Patrick was better off in the blocking game today, but he didn't really prove to be an effective receiver for the Broncos today. And that is kind of something I felt limited the Broncos offensively. But really, Case Keenum really utilized Jeff Heuermann there. That, you know, with this loss here, Denver drops 3-6 on the year, and they drops him to third in the AFC West. And unfortunately, you know, fortunately for them, the Raiders are playing more awful football than they are. And Los Angeles goes on with a big win today. They go to 6-2. Kansas City goes to 8-1 with a win over the Browns today. We'll talk about that here a little bit later on in the show as well. But coming up here in segment number two, we're going to be talking about our key takeaways, some of our vents, some of our frustrations from the Broncos' loss at home to the Houston Texans. But before we get to that, let's talk about our sponsor of today's show, MyBookie. With MyBookie, you can discover a wide variety of ways that you could win cold hard cash today by playing MyBookie. Now, MyBookie features an awesome and a variety of highly interactive features, featuring things like making live in-game bets during a game where you could win cold hard money, and you could even bet on the total number of fantasy points a player might score in Sunday's matchups. It's always a gamble with MyBookie, and the thing is, you could bet on if the Broncos are going to win the bye week. I would take money on that. They might. You never know in this situation, but don't wait. You can head over to MyBookie right now and make a deposit. When you make a deposit with MyBookie, they will literally match you dollar for dollar. If you donate $100, guess what? They will match you with $100 of their own when you use promo code LOCKEDON25. That's LOCKEDON25. If you make a deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, if you're willing to wait after dinner just to do this, they will throw in an additional $25 of free play. So guess what? That's only possible if you visit MyBookie, make a deposit, and you use promo code LOCKEDON25 to get in the game and make money today with MyBookie. All right, Cam, jumping into it, you know, some of the key takeaways. This segment here, we're going to talk about just some of our thoughts from the Broncos 19-17 loss, and I'm going to get started with a couple of key points because I felt just frustrated overall watching this game. I think overall, I'm going to give 2 points here. I'm going to say, first off, when Deshaun Hamilton returns for the Broncos, I think that Pac-Man Jones can just go back to playing defense, because I was so frustrated watching Pac-Man Jones run side to side, east to west, rather than getting north-south and getting upfield, trying to get positive yards. Instead, he dances around. He gets it. You know, obviously, you have to cover a little bit longer if you're a blocker on setting up the return. The Broncos special teams coach, Tom McMahon, he wants them to field returns and get upfield, not dance side to side, try to do this. Pac-Man's not as fast as he used to be, so he doesn't have to do all that. And because he danced on several occasions, it led to a block in the back call on Shamarco Thomas, which I thought it was a pretty weak call because it wasn't a blindside block. It was him using his shoulder, a guy right in front of him, but of course they called it a blindside block, and that puts the Broncos offensively in bad field position once again. So Pac-Man Jones, one of my things is they have to get him off of returning kicks and returning punts. You have River Craycraft now, and you also have Deshaun Hamilton, who should be back after the bye week. Utilize those two young studs that Tom McMahon's been very, very high on. Pac-Man Jones has been a hindrance in the Broncos' return game. Also, on a second note, in terms of special teams, I really want to give a shout out to Kobe Wadman, who actually I thought had a better game punting the ball, Cam. He averaged 47.2 yards per punt. He had a long punt of 59 yards that pinned the Texans inside their own 20-yard line. That was huge. If you look on both sides, the Houston side and the Denver side, punting the football today, they did pretty dang well in this game. So, I think Wadman had a better opportunity this week. I think this was his best game as a pro, essentially. Unfortunately, special teams couldn't get it done as Brandon McManus misses two field goals, which brings me to my next point, Cam. I was absolutely jarred. I was livid as hell with 18 seconds left. The Broncos have a chance to kick a field goal. Obviously, a 62-yard field goal. Mind that. And they rush Brandon McManus out onto the field. Now, let alone, I think you punt the football away. At this point, it's 13-10 at halftime if you decide to punt the ball away. So, overall, I think the Broncos really messed up here coaching-wise because you're on the midfield, you're kicking a 62-yard field goal, and from that standpoint, you have 18 seconds left, you rush your kicker out on the field, he kicks it wide right, and the Texans start off the ball at midfield here. This was a huge setup for the Broncos. If I'm the defensive coordinator, if I'm Joe Woods, if I'm the Broncos defensive players, I am livid. I'm going in that locker room and thinking, what are you doing? Because if you punt the ball away, guess what? Worst case scenario, you go into half down 13-10 instead with two timeouts left, and you have two timeouts if you're the Texans. It didn't work out the way that the Broncos had hoped for. I don't know what Vance Joseph was thinking. Instead, you missed the field goal. They start out. They get a couple yards here and there. They get into field goal range, and Fairbairn puts it in. He put it in from 46 yards out, and at that point, the Texans go up 16-10, and Bill O'Brien's seen on TV mouthing something. I don't know what, you know. There's a lot of speculation out there. If you're a lip reader on as to what he said regarding Vance Joseph, but overall, if I'm the defense, I'm pissed off. You put him in a bad position, and it obviously didn't work out. So for me, that right there is poor coaching. It's a poor coaching decision. I think they got to go after. I'm sorry, and we're going to talk about that in segment number three, but what's next for the Broncos? But that was a piss-poor decision by the Broncos and one of the many in this game tonight.
Yeah, you wonder if the Broncos or McManus made that field goal if Vance Joseph was redeemed or not. You almost wonder, but that has to be the tipping point. Now, granted, I probably would have been okay with the field goal had they called a timeout before. I mean, but at least to slow him down. I mean, you mentioned it, Cody. I mean, they rushed Brandon McManus on the field to kick a 62-yard field goal. I mean, that's just sort of unfathomable that they would do that in that particular situation with, while the 20 seconds may not in reality be a lot of time, it's a lot of time when you are working with half the field. And when you're working with half the field and you rush a player like that and he misses that field goal with as wide as it was, you're going to give a Texans offense, which had come in winning five straight with a short field, for the opportunity to kick a field goal to go 16-10. That just cannot happen. That just absolutely cannot happen. You should have punted the ball away as far as a best decision goes. You should have punted that ball away, and it really did backfire. And when you do have Bill O'Brien, and we can certainly read his lips, when you have Bill O'Brien in essence saying what he did, it's not a good look for you. It is absolutely not a good look for you. And now, granted, it may seem that Vance Joseph probably did what was in his best interest, but it wasn't, in essence, the best interest of the team in that situation. And we'll see ultimately if John Elway and the rest of the front office staff decide to look into that, if they decide to cut ties with Vance Joseph maybe on Tuesday. But I firmly believe that if you're looking into this bye week, you do have that bye week. So that's the opportunity that you certainly have to look at. But yeah, that's probably the biggest takeaway, to be honest. And it's a frustrating takeaway, but as far as a player takeaway, you still kind of have to continue the fact that maybe Case Keenum, he's found something maybe in this game of utilizing the tight ends, and maybe Bill Musgrave of utilizing more of that play action with Case Keenum. But, you know, there, I think for me, The confusing part for me, Cody, in this whole offensive game plan, and it, that is a little bit to Bill Musgrave. Why are they using Devontae Booker on screens?
Oh, you should use Phillip Lindsay on screens. That was that was frustrating because Devontae Booker ended up fumbling the ball, and essentially nobody stripped it from him. He just lost it. I mean, it was poor, and it led to another score for the Houston Texans, unfortunately. It was just another snowball effect. You know, we talk about it week in and week out, Cam, the snowball effect. But there is something, lost in all this, all the drama in Broncos country, just the frustration right now with the team. There is something that we didn't mention yet that obviously is lost in the mix, and that is the Broncos are going to be without one of their key players for the rest of the season. That's Matt Paradise, center, all-pro player. Huge, huge blow for the Broncos. He has a broken fibula. He got rolled up on by Case Keenum and a Houston Texans defender. And when the cart comes out, it's not a good sign. And unfortunately, the news was bad that he has a broken fibula. So ideally, that could be a six-week injury to possibly the entire season. I would hazard a guess and say he's going to be out for the rest of the year. And this is a big, big blow for the Broncos because he is the anchor of that Broncos O-line. That is, I think he's a bright spot on a very struggling offensive line. Now that moves Connor McGovern down to center, and it brings in Billy Turner, Elijah Wilkinson at guard to help out. Jared Valdir returned for the Broncos, and that really, I thought he did okay. He had a penalty. Garrett Bowles had a penalty. Max Garcia got beat by Jadeveon Clowney inside, and it was just the Broncos' offensive line right now is rough. It's not good. It's not the strong point of the team. It's something they really have to get better at, and you know, I think that's something we'll look at here in segment number three, Cam, but you know, it's really touch base on your point. You got to get the ball into Phillip Lindsay's hand, but we'll talk about that here in segment number three coming up in just a moment. What's next for the Broncos as they head into the bye week? But before we get to that, let me tell you guys about what the Locked On Podcast Network is doing. It is reaching a phenomenal stage. Right now, the Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on social media elements like Twitter and Instagram. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow at Locked On NFL Net, and you can get all of the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NFL team on one feed. It's amazing during games, anytime you have breaking news or to get the local perspective. And on Instagram, you can follow Locked On NFL Net. It's giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram stories and longer cuts on the biggest stories going around the National Football League in your feeds. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram for some amazing quality things. And as well, have to give a shout out to our good friends over there at Locked On Nuggets. Adam Mata is doing a great job with the Denver Nuggets podcast right over there at Denver Stiffs. The Nuggets are on fire. They're giving the Broncos country some hope. Broncos players are attending the Nuggets game, so hopefully that winning magic can rub off a little bit. And the Nuggets coming off of a big win against the Utah Jazz are set to play the Boston Celtics this evening here at the Pepsi Center. So go check out Locked On Nuggets. Adam Ottis at Locked On Nuggets. Subscribe to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. They're doing a lot of amazing things. And now we're going to get into segment number three in just a moment. Okay, Cam, final takeaways. What is next for this Broncos team? You talked a little bit about it in the previous segment, highlighting what are the Broncos going to do? You know, are they going to part ways with Vance Joseph? Is that something they're going to look at maybe doing on Tuesday? As of right now, I'm not hearing anything, but that can change. And we'll obviously keep you updated over here at Locked On Broncos with all the news, analysis, and updates. But you really, Cam, heading into the bye week, what are some key areas the Broncos need to work on in order to try to maybe even possibly have a chance to win out? Because essentially their playoff hopes are done. Statistically, they still have a chance. That means they would have to win out every single game. They'd have to run the table essentially to finish 10-6 on the year. And even in the AFC West, I mean, with the Chargers playing red hot football right now, I think that might be 10-6 might be good enough just to get the last bye, and not the last bye, but the last wild card spot in the AFC playoffs. The Broncos, the odds do not look good for them. But overall, what is something that the Broncos need to do, Cameron, in order to maybe come out against the Chargers after the bye week with their hair on fire?
Well, the coaching, you know, carousel, or the coaching rumors, should we say, of what might be, we'll put that one on the back burner because we talked a little bit about that in the last segment. But as far as what needs to be done, you got to unleash your 2018 draft class, and not just that, but you also have to look to the future, and in your secondary. Sua Cravens needs more playing time. He played pretty well he actually played pretty well in that secondary. Now, granted, you didn't hear his name called a whole lot. So I don't know if this, and we can, you know, look at, and certainly as far as play counts and snap counts necessarily, but they said coming into this game that Sua Cravens was not on a snap count. So that's something certainly that needs to be done. And I think Sua Cravens could, in essence, be your replacement for Darian Stewart or, you know, just that, as we said, that multiple defensive safety player that they can use with Will Parks and Justin Simmons back there. But the biggest offensive takeaway is they got to get the offensive line figured out. They have to get the offensive line figured out, and it's a tough blow to lose Matt Paradis to the ankle injury that was sustained. But, you know, Connor McGovern, there's been arguments thrown around from different local media that Connor McGovern might actually be a much better center than he is a guard. Which, think about that for a second, because Connor McGovern was arguably the best guard in football, or at least the team MVP early on in the season. So that sort of tells you the versatility of the young man and also how strong he is. So him getting more reps at center might actually be beneficial for Connor McGovern in maybe his grooming for right guard or left guard or wherever they decide to play him. Because we all know the coaching staff and the decision of, you know, switching out Max Garcia and so on and so forth. But the play of the offensive line certainly is one to watch. Garrett Bowles and his consistent, you know, undisciplined penalties, that's got to change. It was good to see Valdir out there. It was good to see Valdir out there, but, you know, the lack of playing time for Valdir and Garrett Bowles together certainly is going to come to play. But, you know, hopefully they can get that right after the bye week.
Well, I'm going to touch base on a couple things here. I think if Max Garcia continues to play the way he's playing in terms of giving up pressure in the interior, I think you got to give a look to, obviously, you can't really move Billy Turner to left guard because he's going to be playing right guard, but I think you have to give a look at Elijah Wilkinson to be opposite of Garrett Bowles, because to be honest with you, the Broncos lost Ron Leary early on in the season. That was a huge blow. Now they're losing Matt Paradis, which is a bigger blow overall to the overall health and the longevity of this Broncos offensive line that's already struggling. But for me, what's next for the Broncos? I think Brandon McManus will be fine. I think he'll respond. A lot of people are concerned about a carryover. He came out today in the media, said, you know, they were just bad kicks. They were terrible kicks. You know, the 62-yarder was terrible. The guys gave me a chance to win the game, and I was terrible. I let these guys down. Yeah, you have to feel for a guy like the kicker that goes through and has an opportunity. It's uncharacteristic of him. He's had a great year, and I felt like the last 2 weeks that the Broncos have played, his first is obviously, I think two out of the three field goal attempts that he's had have been rushed attempts. And I think that a lot of that goes on coaching. Tom McMahon was pissed off about that against the Kansas City Chiefs, Vance Joseph. And obviously you've seen that situation fold out here today. So I think the kicking game will be good. I think they'll be fine in special teams. But for me, the Broncos have to figure out cornerback depth. I think maybe get Yadam ready. I think give Yadam a little bit more reps. Tremaine Brock has found himself playing his way off of a role on the team, essentially outside of special teams. In my opinion, if it was my way, defensively, he has hurt the Broncos in more ways than he's helped them. So I think you got to give Isaac Yadam a chance to shine as a young guy. I think the Broncos can get some things together, but like I said, it's going to be tough when you have to go to Los Angeles and play the Chargers, who are playing red hot football right now. Went down to Seattle on Sunday and beat them handily. Phillip Rivers looking good, you know, deep completions. It's going to be a tough matchup for this Broncos, but they got to get to Phillip Rivers quick because he likes to get the ball out of his hands. Obviously, when that week comes, once it's game week, we have the bye week blues all of this week and all of next week on the Locked On Broncos podcast. We will get into it next week with the Locked On Chargers guys over here at the Locked On Podcast Network for a crossover show. But you can stay tuned this week on Locked On Broncos. We're going to game preview some other things. We're going to talk about the bye week blues. We're going to obviously analyze some key news and analysis from Broncos country that is revealed this week. And then we'll do an NFL picks on Friday, as well as looking at the rest of what's going on around the National Football League on this week on Locked On Broncos. Stay tuned. Give the show a follow on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. Give us a review on iTunes. Leave your Twitter handle. We'll do an announcement, jersey giveaway, if we can get to 100 reviews as well on the Locked On Broncos podcast. 100 reviews on iTunes. We're at 83. We get to 100. We'll do a contest giveaway, and that'll obviously open up a bunch of new things. But if you leave a review and your Twitter handle is in that review, you'll automatically generate an entry into the contest, which we will announce as soon as we get to 100 reviews on iTunes. So go contribute to that. We'll love to make it happen. And the prize, if you guys win it, is a jersey of your choice, a Broncos jersey of your choice. So, very cool stuff. We couldn't do this show without you, the fans. Once again, obviously, like I mentioned, Twitter, Locked On NFL Net, and Instagram, Locked On NFL Net, to get some really cool stories, updates from the Locked On NFL hosts, as well as the biggest stories in audio format on your Instagram stories and the bigger stories on your Instagram feeds. Very, very cool thing that they have going on there. For Cameron, Cody Rourke of the Locked On Broncos podcast, we'll see you tomorrow for another episode of the show. See you then.